Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your questions or to discuss the real-life issues you face right now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Phone number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the resurrection, the centerpiece of the good news of Jesus Christ. We can all say with joy in our hearts and confidence in our voice that Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
I mean, he was born in Bethlehem. We see a little bit of his childhood when he was 12 years old, and then he enters the scene and starts his ministry around the age of 30. He spends three plus years traveling through Israel, performing miracles, all of those things. But all through that ministry, he gives hints as to what's up ahead, his suffering, his impending death, his burial. But then the crowning of that, the resurrection, the fact that he was going to be raised from the dead 3 days later. No one caught that. No one really understood what Jesus meant. But it happened, and even after it happened, when Mary and the women went to the garden to do the body, to put spices on the body, the tomb was empty. And they weren't thinking, oh, Jesus was raised from the dead, just like he said. And then Mary goes and tells Peter and John, and they go running to the tomb, and they look in, and the body's not there. And they weren't thinking resurrection either. It wasn't until they actually saw the resurrected Christ that the reality of resurrection hit them, that they truly believed that he had been raised from the dead, just as he said. But this became the story the apostles, the disciples, started to tell, that this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has raised back to life, has raised him from the dead, and we have seen him with our own eyes. This was the story Paul began to speak. And there was one, I think, significant story, and it's recorded in Acts 17, where Paul is in Athens, and he's talking to the philosophers. He's talking to them on Mars Hill, and they gathered, these philosophers gathered daily just to discuss the various philosophies of life. Well, Paul went to inject something new, a truth that they had not realized, and it was about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he says this, "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone." So what was the centerpiece of their discussion there? It's what is God like? How are we to know him? They had an altar there with an inscription to an unknown God. Apparently, they were trying to figure out how to know him. What is he like? And Paul says, well, we shouldn't think of him as gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. There's nothing that we could come up with that is like God. Our minds just don't think in those terms. Why? Sin has blocked us from really seeing God for who he is until we see him in the person of Christ Jesus. In the past, Paul said, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he is appointed, and he has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. He says, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. Philosophers sneer at that truth, that reality. How could somebody be raised back to life? But others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. They were intrigued. They were fascinated. This story of resurrection is met with the same type responses today. There are many in the intellectual community who claim there is no God, or maybe they're agnostic, they're not sure. They put all hope on human reason and logic. They sneer at the idea that somebody had been raised from the dead, that Jesus was brought back to life, and that all hope can be pinned on that one single event. There's others there that are fascinated, that are intrigued, that want to know more. But the truth is, regardless of how people respond, Jesus was raised from the dead. And because he was raised from the dead, we have life everlasting. The hope that we so desperately want, so desperately need, is ours in Christ, because God did exactly what he promised. He raised him from the dead, and the good news is that Jesus is alive.
Absolutely. That's the truth that you hear each day, friends, on Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis. Again, thank you for joining us, and we are ready for your phone calls. Give us a call right now if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss or discuss with you. Give us a call, 844-32-BASIC. That full number again, 844-322-2742. Suggest you jot that down. Keep it handy, because you might have a question that just comes up spontaneously, and you'll have the number ready. So again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob and Richard, here comes a difficult question. I'll keep the writer's name in confidence, even though he didn't ask that I do that. His message reads, "My family is Mormon. I am very unhappy in the church, as I no longer accept its claims to truth. My wife," he says, "is very devout. I love her very much, and I'm afraid of losing her if I tell her I want to leave in favor of mainstream Christianity. How do I talk to her, or should I not talk to her and just keep my otherwise happy marriage of 13 years?
You got to talk to her.
Yes.
If you're going to have a marriage based on truth, based on trust, based on honesty, you got to tell her. But you don't have to tell her as somebody that is holy or righteous, or, you know, with that type of air. You just tell her the story that, hey, I've examined the claims. I've been exactly where you are. I've looked at these things, and I've come to know Jesus in a personal way. I've recognized that the real story is in the Bible, not the Book of Mormon. And I want you to examine that with me. Don't be afraid to talk. And that's the big thing that I think we need to address in this particular email. He said, "I'm afraid that if I talk to her, I might lose her. If I tell her the truth, I might lose her." That fear is not of God. That fear is from someone else. And if you let that fear control you, you will never see how God can work this situation for your good, for her good, for the marriage's good. So give God a chance. Step out in faith. It takes guts. It takes courage to do so. But step out and tell her truth. Truth is what the relationship needs. Truth is what she needs to hear from you as a husband. Give her the opportunity to respond. She may not be as happy as you think she is. She may not be as satisfied or as content as you think she is. She may be struggling on the inside as well. She may be asking a million questions, but she's afraid to bring them up to you. Maybe this is the time that some of those things will come out and will surface, and you can have a great conversation. But don't let fear keep you from stepping out in faith and opening your mouth and telling her the truth of what's happened to you. The fact that you have come to know Jesus personally, the fact that you have gone from death to life, just as Christ was raised from the dead, you've been raised from the dead, and that it's all by grace. It's not by works. You can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't climb a spiritual ladder and become like Jesus. That is the root of Mormon theology. That's what they believe. If you just follow his example, do what he did, then you can become like him. It's not going to happen, folks. That is a hopeless philosophy, a hopeless theology. Maybe she's looking for hope. You have an opportunity to give her some hope. in Jesus. Don't let fear keep you from doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So share with her what you have come to believe, that the claims of Mormonism are not true, and there must be reasons for that. So share that with her and leave the results in God's hands.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, calls coming in, friends. 844-32-BASIC. Still plenty of time, still plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you. 844-32-BASIC.
We're going to go to Wayne in just a minute, but I want to remind our listeners, especially on the West Coast, about our upcoming conference this Saturday.
Yes.
Just around the corner, March 7th, we want you to come and join us. All the information on how you can register is available at basicgospel.net. It's $19 per person, $29 per couple, one of the best values you will ever get here in the United States of America. Come join us, and you will hear this gospel story and hear ways that you can make your life a good news story as well. We want to see you this Saturday at the Valley Church. Good friend Jeremy White leads and pastors that particular church. Wonderful, wonderful guy. He's been so hospitable and gracious to open up his door so that we could have this conference there. Don't miss it. March 7th, all the information is at basicgospel.net.
Under that events tab, as Bob said, at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC.
Well, let's go to Wayne, listening to us in New Jersey on WMCA. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah. Good. How you doing, brother?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
Great. Hanging in there, trusting the Lord. I have my ups and downs, but I'm determined to press on to the end with God's help and prayer.
Keep trusting Him. That's what God has called you to, a life of faith. Just keep abiding, trusting, walking in Him. And when you do that, you can count on God leading you in just marvelous ways. What's on your mind today?
I was speaking of voice in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Yes.
Where it says, but though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass as a clanging cymbal. And verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, there are several types of love. Which love that of the Lord is saying there in His Word that we should have, and respond to one another in that type of love?
Well, good question, Wayne. He's saying to us in this passage that there is a more excellent way. Sometimes we focus on those things that aren't of prime importance, most importance to God, and we substitute those for what truly is important, and that's a life of love. We would rather speak in tongues than speak in love, and that's what Paul is saying here. And then he goes on to define what this love is. Love is patient. So when we make a statement that I love you, and we're meaning it in terms of agape love, we're saying I'm going to be patient with you, and I'm going to persevere with you. I'm going to be kind to you. That's the type of love that we are to express to others. But there's only one way to do that, and that's through abiding in Christ. We cannot bear the fruit of love without abiding and the source of love. That's just the way it is. So first and foremost, God is patient with us. So Wayne, God is being patient with you right now. If He's loving you right now, He's being patient with you. If He's loving you right now, He's being kind to you right now. He's not envious or boasting or proud or rude or self-seeking. He's not in a relationship with you to proclaim how, you know, boast and all of that sort of stuff. He's in a relationship with you just to love you, because that brings Him joy. And so he doesn't rejoice, delight in evil, but He rejoices with the truth. He protects you, Wayne. He always trusts and hopes and perseveres. That's what God does, and that love never fails. And that's the love that we have the opportunity to express to others as we abide in the vine of Christ. There's no other way to make that happen. His life living itself out through us.
Okay. Thank you so much for your insight.
You are so welcome, Wayne. Got a book on that called Love Is. Would love to put it in your hands.
Okay.
Yeah, let me put you on hold and we'll send it to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You hang on, Wayne. Thanks for your call.
Love Is and other materials to aid your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ are available from our online store. You'll find it at store.basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. Hope you'll go there and take a look around. You'll find many items that will help your understanding of the Christian life and put you on a really, really good path. Again, that's at store.basicgospel.net. Open lines, 844-32-BASIC. Still time on the clock, still time for you to pose your question. We'd love to hear from you right now, 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go talk to Eugene, listening to us in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Eugene.
Grace and peace and abundance to you, brothers. I love the work that you're doing. I love your show.
Well, thank you so much, Eugene. We sure appreciate those kind words. Thank you.
Okay. My question is, and I'll take the question, the answer off air, but the question is regarding to Malachi 4, the prophecy about the Messiah coming after Elijah. Now, I know in the Gospels, when Jesus came and Jesus said, if you could bear this, that John the Baptist wasn't the spirit of Elijah. But what I'm looking into now is in the Revelations, I believe 11, with the two witnesses, they don't say the names of the two witnesses, but I believe that it's Moses and Elijah just because of the miracles that they did. And that's what I believe. But my thing is that prophecy was on Christ's second coming. Or was it his first coming? Because I know a lot of the Jews, they didn't believe in Christ because they were expecting him to overthrow Rome. They were expecting a second coming. So I'll take your answer over the air. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks, Eugene. Thanks for your question. Interesting topic,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. This is one of those great little passages. No one knows what Malachi says except for 3:10. You know, pay tithe or else. But that's not what the book is about. This prophecy is wonderful. And this piece of it, if you look just this whole chapter, it starts off with, surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. Well, that can be nothing else than the final end of days.
Yeah, usually when we see fire, it's judgment.
Yes.
There's a judgment that's coming.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, all the arrogant and every evil doer will be stubble, and the day what's coming, it'll set them on fire. So what God gave to Malachi was this picture. And one of the reasons God was so upset with Israel, remember they had come back from the Babylonian captivity, it seems like they had learned nothing. Instead of walking by faith and reinstituting the Mosaic covenant the way it was supposed to be done, they were sitting around complaining that, you know, what's God done for me lately? And he's just brought them back from Babylon. And he said, look, it's bigger than you. There's something I need you to do in order to bring the Messiah the first time, because there's something I'm going to do at the end with the evil, and Elijah's going to come and do something about that. Well, of course, we don't know if he literally means the prophet Elijah or if this is going to be meaning something else, but we have a picture of it in the Gospels during the Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah came, ministered to Jesus before Peter, James, and John. And this passage, coupled with that passage, suggests to people that perhaps the two witnesses will be Moses and Elijah. We don't know for certain. Someday we will find out for certain. But what we do know is that what this person does is to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. He's coming to bring reconciliation to people in a way that is impossible apart from Jesus Christ. And that's a beautiful thing if you think about it in the context of the Great Tribulation. Why, you know, clear through to the end, Jesus is offering salvation to people. And we know that because in the middle of the plagues, the seven last plagues, There are statements that even with this, they would not repent. So it means that repentance was available to them. And here we've got this Elijah-like character presenting that and making such a wonderful argument of here's the reconciliation you can have in Jesus. And you know, let's rejoice in the truth of that and not be worried too much about the exact who is this part of it, because we know from previous prophecy that every time we guess who it is and what it is and when it is, we get it wrong. But when we look at that prophecy and hold it in our hearts, and then when it comes true, you look back on it and say, wow, God knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, and Eugene, I think, too, it's, you know, we're interested in the identity of those witnesses at the end, but also they represent something. You know, when Jesus met with the disciples on the road to
Emmaus,
he said, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the prophets, and the Psalms.
Yes.
So, you know, Moses represents the law, Elijah represents the prophets, and he's saying those are the witnesses. Those are the witnesses to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
What we have in the Old Testament is not the story of Israel. They're a player in this story, but it's really the unfolding story of Jesus Christ himself, the Messiah, his work through his death, burial, and resurrection, and his eternal reign on the throne of David. That's the story. We see all of that come true in Christ in his first appearance, and the rest of it coming true in his second appearance. And so all those witnesses will stand saying, see, we told you, we wrote about it. And you killed the prophets, you did all of that sort of stuff, but what we said was true. And that's the good news. The story of Jesus has been verified and confirmed in many ways, and Elijah and Moses will stand as witnesses to that at the very end.
Yeah. Well, Eugene, thank you for your question, and thanks to all of those of you who call to make this part of your day and to receive answers to those questions that you just can't arrive at your own. Something special right now. Friends, if this ministry is of benefit to you, if it's edifying to you, if it's helping you along your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, why, we encourage you to be a part of the ongoing support. You know, someone gave so that you could hear, and we ask you to give so that others can hear as well. And we want to let you know that a copy of Andrew Farley's popular book, The Naked Gospel, can be yours for a gift of any amount right now to Basic Gospel. All you need to do to get your copy and to make your gift is to go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, and you'll find the support link right there on the homepage. Or you can call and speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742 to make your gift and request your copy of The Naked Gospel, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel right now.
Yeah, can I just speak for a lot of people who are out there who are a lot like Doreen from Kansas, who wrote to us recently? She said, when I heard the truth of the new covenant, I've never doubted my salvation again. There's lots of people out there doubting their salvation. They've said a prayer, they've walked an aisle, they've joined a church, they've done lots of things, and yet they still feel like God's a million miles away, that he's distant. But there's truth that needs to be heard. There's truth that needs to be believed. There's truth that needs to be lived by folks like Doreen.
Yeah.
And that truth is contained in the New Covenant, this gospel message of Christ finished work through his death on the cross, through his burial, through his resurrection. And so when you invest, you're reaching out to people like Doreen. And we think that's just an incredible ministry. We admire you for doing that. And the Doreens of the world say thank you.
Yes.
And as our way of saying thank you, we want to send you Andrew's book. At our board meeting recently, Andrew was there and he said, when I was introduced to the new covenant, that's what saved my life. A powerful, powerful statement. We want that same message going out. You can help get the word out by a gift today to Basic Gospel. Don't let this opportunity pass you by to reach out and to touch somebody like Doreen who needs to know that they are saved.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.